Welcome to the podcast of First Presbyterian Church of Marietta, where we are committed to changing lives with faith, hope, and love. We're so glad you are here.
Now, a second scripture lesson from the Gospel of John, John chapter 12, verses 20 to 33. Again, I invite you to listen for the word of the Lord. Now, among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now, my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour. No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. A little girl named Braylon. She's the daughter of one of our church staff members and is the granddaughter of Reverend Joe and Sandra Bryce. She wrote me this note that says, "Dear Pastor Joe, sorry I missed you. I'll stop by again. I hope you have an amazing day. Signed, Braylon. P.S. Don't forget to wear pink tomorrow." That postscript about wearing pink reflects one of Braylon's core convictions. She thinks that every Wednesday we should all wear pink. In fact, she told me that once she's elected president, her first order of business will be putting that practice into law. So I've started early. Maybe you should as well. Get into the habit now before you get in trouble with Madam President herself and wear pink on Wednesday. This note she wrote me prompted me to go through my collection of children's artwork. I've saved all kinds of children's art that kids have given me over the years. This morning I have my note from Braylon. I have here also a stormtrooper drawn by Aiden Bush. I have some of our daughter's artwork, a whole bunch of our daughter's artwork. Lily brought this home from her first day of preschool. She's now in ninth grade. And on Father's Day, Cece once drew this trophy for me. It says, "Number one, Dad." That's right, I'm number one, Dads. I'm proud of these things, right? I have also this Best Pastor of the Month award that Margaret Ann Breed made for me. I have a whole stack of notes and drawings that former preschool student Kate Callahan has given me. This is one of my favorites. When she graduated from our preschool, we rang the bell in the sanctuary to celebrate. Her mom took this picture of her and her big sister with me ringing the bell in our sanctuary. Then I have a stack of portraits that kids have drawn of my likeness. Here, Gabriel, you heard Gabriel lead the liturgy. Gabriel, I see you over there. When Gabriel was really little, he drew this portrait of me. It's mostly dots. But you can see that there are eyeglasses down here, so you kind of know who it is. It's me. Then this one, a young man who just joined the church today, drew this portrait of me during the Ash Wednesday service. Here I am in the pulpit preaching. And this is one that Jacob Duda drew of me a few years ago. I don't have a lot of hair on the top of my head in Jacob's picture, but that's okay. Jacob's more of a realist when it comes to art. For the truth is that I am getting older. There is less hair on top of my head than there used to be. Also, I now use this special lotion under my eyes that's supposed to reduce the size of the bags under my eyes. Now, that's not a fun product to spend money on, but I've been doing it. I also suffer from achy muscles and joints that pop when I wake up in the morning because getting older just isn't easy. And if you add all those physical maladies to the realities out in the world of inflation, social division, and the looming specter of this next presidential election, and grown-ups like us will go looking for something to brighten our days. That's why it doesn't surprise me that these Greeks in our second scripture lesson from the Gospel of John went to see Jesus. The Gospel of John tells us their national origin. When the Gospel of John gives us a detail like that, it's important to stop and pay attention. Why does the Gospel of John tell us that they came from Greece? Why is this detail important? Well, Greece in the time of Jesus is sort of like England in the time of World War II. England in the 20th century is coming to a new understanding of herself because some of her colonies are now stronger and larger than she is. England in World War II needs the help of America because England is on its way out as far as being the global power of the day. By the time World War II comes around, you might have said that England was in decline as our star was rising. Today, some might say that we are in decline as China's star is rising. Regardless, in the time of Jesus, Rome was the global power, which meant that Greece no longer was. The Greeks go to Philip and say, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." What do these Greeks want from Jesus? Likely, they wanted the same thing that I was in need of when I found that note from little Braylon hanging on my office door. They needed something to brighten their days. Yet instead of finding a note from a little girl, they hear from Jesus some words that surely change their whole perspective. Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." What does that mean? Let me try to tell you. One night last week, I was looking for a printer cartridge so that I could print my homework for class the next day. I'm back in class at Columbia Theological Seminary trying to finish up my doctorate, and I was digging through all our junk drawers looking for printer ink when I came across a picture that I had taken of my wife, Sarah, when we were in college. Now, Sarah looks exactly the same now as she did then. I don't. Back before we started dating, I had long, flowing hair. A mane of auburn hair, you might call it. And at 19 years old, I noticed Sarah in class, but Sarah wouldn't go out with me right away. I just pined for her for a while until I had to get my hair cut for a week-long school trip to Honduras. A friend on my dorm room hall named Danny Nelson had his brother's barber license hanging on his wall. It wasn't Danny's name on the license, but it was close enough. So I went down to Danny's dorm room and I got a haircut. And when Sarah saw me with that clean cut haircut, suddenly she saw someone she might take seriously. What I'm trying to say is that I keep on getting older. We all keep on getting older. We are like the Apostle Paul who said, "When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put an end to childish ways." Friends, we all must put an end to some childish ways, and then we must keep on putting things aside. We must put aside some of our freedom to raise a family. We must put aside some of our spending money to send our kids to college. We've got to put aside a whole bunch of spending money to save for retirement, and at some point, we'll have to put aside our car keys. Maybe even our independence and self-sufficiency to get the care that we need. Yet we need never put aside happiness, for our best days are not behind us. Whether you are 8 years old or 98 years old, we all have a future to look forward to. Even if your hair is thinning out, rejoice today, because what falls to the ground, like my auburn locks of hair, becomes the seed of new life. Jesus said, "Unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." So if you are feeling today like a citizen of the once great Greek Republic, now fallen into decline and disrepair, do not be afraid. Do not give up hope. Don't you dare give up joy. For when we go down to the dust, we still go down singing our bold alleluias, for we fall only to rise. We go down only to come back up stronger. Do not be afraid. Do not fear getting older. Do not even fear death. The prayer of St. Francis says, "For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. It is in dying that we rise to eternal life." Thanks be to God. Amen.
This podcast is a ministry of First Presbyterian Church of Marietta. Come join us Sundays at 189 Church Street, Marietta, Georgia, or visit us online at fpcmarietta.org.